Well, everybody, you've done it to yourself again. You've tuned in to another Tech Doctor podcast, and we can't blame you for that. We're glad to have you. I am Robert, one of the Tech Doctors. Along with me is Allison Hartley, somewhere in the California sunshine. Allison, how are you?
I am doing well. I am coming to you guys from a brand new podcasting setup. I've changed a couple of things. Number one, I'm actually hardwired into the network, so hopefully that will minimize my Skype issues that I've had on other calls. And I'm using a new microphone. I'm using an iRig portable podcasting microphone studio. It's just a little USB mic that has a little stand that it mounts on. The nice thing is you can interchange the USB cables and use it with either Mac or iOS. So I'm looking forward to eventually doing some recordings on iOS to see the difference in quality, if any.
Maybe you'll do some of those at MacStock this summer, huh?
That's what I'm planning to do. The whole setup, including my headphones, my monitoring headphones that I use, can fit in my purse or backpack. So I will be bringing it with us to MacStock.
Nice. You got new headphones, new microphones?
Well, these headphones that I'm using for monitoring are actually very old headphones that I found, but they do well for monitoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Yeah, we got an exciting couple months coming up here.
Yeah.
Almost to June with WWDC, and we'll be covering all that Apple announces to us.
Oh, yes. I took the day off this time around.
Yeah, I did too. I took the day off, so we'll be able to watch it and then podcast about it. And right. I get excited about it every year. It's always
new. Me too.
And then after that, very soon after that, actually, we'll be headed up to Chicago for MacStock. So
that's going to be so much fun.
It's an exciting summer.
Yeah, we were both on episodes of Mac Voices, a wonderful podcast hosted by Chuck Joyner, talking about our MacStock presentations and just kind of, it's called The Road to MacStock he's doing, which is a sort of a precursor, like, journey with all the presenters about the presentations that they're doing and a little bit about them.
Yes, you did a very nice job on there.
Well, thank you, as did you.
And you're going to tell us how your phone ate your Mac?
Yes.
What?
My phone is a very vicious, bloody character. It ate my Mac.
All right. Well, I'm looking.
But yeah, I'll be presenting on how I use my phone in a lot of ways as a replacement for my Mac.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to be talking about OS X and accessibility, and I don't have a clever title like you have. I'll just have to wing it somehow, I suppose.
You'll come up with something.
I'll come up with something. I do have a little surprise for people at the beginning of my presentation.
Ooh.
So we will say no more than that.
Awesome.
But today we're very happy to welcome a new guest to the Tech Doctor podcast. She has a relatively new podcast of her own, which I'd ask her to come on and tell us about, because it's a very interesting podcast. But before that, I'd like to introduce Tara Briggs to the Tech Doctor audience. And Tara, welcome. Please, if you would, take a moment or two or longer and tell everybody a little bit about you and what you do.
Hi, I've loved listening to your podcast, so it's great to be on. I'm Tara Briggs. I live in Utah, and I'm married. And I have a 22-month-old baby and another one on the way. So I'm a stay-at-home mom with our 1.5 children, soon to be 2 kids. And I didn't even know what a podcast was about a year ago. And then I had a friend who got me into it. I have loved a lot of the different podcasts that are out there. And I thought that it would be really a great idea to have a podcast where I let people with disabilities talk about just their own stories and their lives and just different aspects of living with a disability or adjusting to a disability. So it's called Ability Stories. I've got a few episodes up and have more that I plan on putting up. And it's been a lot of fun just to interview people and get to know them and give people the chance to tell their story about what it's like to have a disability. I want to normalize our experience, you know, because I think sometimes we're seen as different from everybody else. And I don't think we are.
When I first listened to your podcast, I was really struck by that, how you do have a warm, natural style with talking to people. And I think that honestly does go a long way toward normalizing the experience. It seems like people relax and go ahead and talk to you about their thoughts and their feelings about who they are and what they're doing. And that also relates back to their disability. Had you done anything like this before? How did you develop these conversational skills?
No, I'm just nosy. I don't know. I like talking to people and getting to know them. And sometimes my interviews are a little bit longer than some. But I really like talking to people. So I think the best kind of interview, you are simply eavesdropping on an entertaining conversation. And so that's what I try and do with the guests I have on my podcast, and just kind of get out of the way as much as I can and let them tell their story and create a safe place where people can come and just talk about their lives. I think there's something kind of healing about it almost for people.
It is, and you can tell that when you listen. It's a very natural, friendly, safe, as you said, way of conducting interviews. And I really look forward to hearing more. I listened to a few episodes and I look forward to hearing more and learning from you, actually. I have a lot of respect for what you've started out to do, and I can't wait to hear more episodes.
Well, it's been a lot of fun.
One of the challenges sometimes is finding people to interview who are good in this format, who are willing and able to talk about themselves in an articulate way. What's it been like trying to find people to interview?
Well, so far I've been lucky because I've been interviewing friends that I just know from the blind community. I'm wanting to branch out to just the whole disability spectrum. I haven't been able to find another podcast that just lets people talk about their stories. So I've got like a list of 70 episodes of people. I'm in a Mind Master group that a friend started. And so every Wednesday we sit down and talk about different projects that everybody's on. There's a lady who runs her own restaurant in New Jersey, and she has a C5 spinal cord injury. So I really want to find her. So I'm going to write her a letter. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But I think that's what I'm going to start doing, is trying to branch out and ask people that I don't know. And that's where I'm hoping to kind of open things up. I also need to get on social media. I'm so bad at it. I'm one of those Facebook lurkers that just reads everybody's posts and doesn't post anything. So I need to branch out, because I kind of have the impression that that's a big way that people start to get listeners. But right now we have about 40 downloads an episode, so that's good.
That's a great start. You might also want to consider Twitter as well. Facebook is extremely popular, but in general, I find that I make better connections within the disability community on Twitter.
Yeah. I've got a Twitter account. For me, this is something that I love doing, but I'm sort of fitting it in with, you know, making time for my daughter and my family and stuff. But
yeah, you're a little busy.
Sure, like doing it. Yeah.
It is hard to fit it all in. The new social network that a lot of people are participating on, which is called Vareil, that we did a podcast on, would also be potentially another good place to announce when you have an episode that has just been published, or maybe to let people know a little bit about the podcast.
I downloaded the app. I like that app a lot. I need
it's
to play
so
with that
fun.
One. Yeah. Your guys' show on Vareil was awesome.
Well, thank you.
It was great.
The idea behind the podcast is obviously to let people tell their stories, but it does seem like that in addition to that, it's kind of a way for maybe people to get a little more authentic in a sense about what life is like for them. And I guess that must be part of your intent. You're walking a fine line, as I see it. You want people to be authentic and normal and express what's going on, but you also want, I guess, to let people see that more than just a disability, you're dealing with a human being. It seems like it's quite a challenge in some sense.
One of my favorite movies that I saw recently, it's a documentary, and it was on the local national public radio station here, is called Autism and Love. And sometimes I kind of flinch when people with disabilities are in movies or documentaries, because sometimes we're shown as just not humans. We're shown as just amazing people to pedestalize. But they didn't do that. It was a beautiful documentary about four people with autism and their romantic relationships. And I loved how when I finished watching the movie, I didn't find anybody in the movie inspirational, but I found them all human beings that I could relate to on some level. I think that's one of my goals with the podcast. And my other goal, as I continue to find people and interview people, we have two doctors in our country who are quadriplegics. And they went to medical school as people who were quadriplegics. They can't move from the neck down. And so maybe if they were to come and tell their story, that somebody else who's a quadriplegic might hear about that and realize what they can do. Because what inspires me about people with disabilities isn't, you know, that we get up and manage to, like, you know, take a breath every morning. It's the problem solving we do and the adapting that we do. I think that's something that we can all learn from each other, whatever our disabilities are.
It's taken me a long time to get to the point where I really have been able to understand and value and respect humanness for what it is. What kinds of life experiences have you had, or what has helped you kind of get to a place where you take such a serious look at this whole idea when it comes to the things that you want to accomplish with this podcast?
I've had a lot of time to think. Being a stay-at-home mom is kind of an interesting job, because on the one hand, you're ridiculously busy, and on the other hand, you have a lot of thinking time, and you're kind of bored because there aren't a lot of adults to talk to. As much as I absolutely love being a stay-at-home mom, you know, when I ask my child about how to solve the United States national debt, her answers just aren't really there. So I probably put it about a year's worth of thought into the podcast and writing down ideas. And then the other thing for me is I use the Mac. And I have learned it all from the ground up. I have had days where I have wanted to throw it out the window because I used to be a JAWS user, and they're different. For me, using the iPhone was really easy because I'd never used an accessible phone before, so it was really easy to get into Apple's head and see what they were thinking. But the Mac is a little bit different. So it's taken me a while to figure out how to record and how to edit and all that kind of stuff. So maybe it's just been the amount of thought I've put into it before I put anything, you know, up on the air. And then my husband has a disability that's different than mine. He was born with congenital muscular dystrophy and arthrogryposis. So basically it's not degenerative and it's not genetic, but Tyler needs help to eat and use the bathroom and get dressed and all that kind of stuff. So other than having like a deaf person in the family, we pretty much have every physical disability in the book. So I think maybe that's helped me to kind of get to know people who are a little bit different than me and sympathize with things. Like, for example, when we bought a home, you know, all of us who are blind, we need to live near public transportation. But Tyler and I not only needed to live near public transportation, but we needed a house that was wheelchair accessible. So we had, like, it took us a year to track down a house. So maybe that's helped me too, to have, you know, two disabilities that we're kind of accommodating for.
You live it. You don't just think about it and talk about it, but you live it. And so that's bound to give a totally unique perspective on the whole thing. And the fact that you've taken that and translated it into a podcast where you encourage people to talk about openly those struggles and those issues. And also you do it in a way that one doesn't walk away feeling sad or feeling sorry, but honestly, I walk away from them feeling a bit more hopeful. And so you've just found a nice balance there, I think.
Well, thank you.
So the technology part of it hasn't been so easy, it doesn't sound like, but you're getting recordings done and you're getting them published. Sounds like you've come a long way in the last year.
Oh, I am the most inept person at technology, I know. If I can do it, anybody can do it. When I recorded my little introductory song to the podcast, I was just playing around and Marie, my little girl, started talking and she just talked at like the perfect spot. So I was like, okay, we got to have that. And then figuring out how to put it with the music and how to have it at the same volume. God, I spent like an hour or two on it and it wasn't working. So then I went into the Apple store where John Lipsey, he was my first guest on the podcast. He took 3 minutes and fixed it, like, you know, instantly. And I told him I hated him, but we're good enough friends that he didn't take it personally.
So, what tools do you use?
I'm on Podbean is where I am hosting right now. At some point I want to expand out to my own website, but I've got to track down somebody who can make it for me, because that's way beyond something that I can do right now in life. I use Amadeus Pro, which is a great recording tool. The Blind Abilities podcast had a really great tutorial on how to do a lot of things with Amadeus Pro. And then Jonathan Mosen at Mosen.org, he had one that has just been so helpful, where he just takes you through absolutely everything you can do with Amadeus Pro. Maybe one day when I'm like 85, I'll be as good as it at Amadeus Pro as those guys. But right now I'm very grateful. So that's what I've been using.
You started out using JAWS, but ultimately switched to the Apple platform. How come?
Because JAWS is $900 and Apple is zero. I love JAWS. I think Freedom Scientific has done a really great job with it, but it's expensive to buy. And then you have to keep maintaining all the upgrades. And so with Apple, you don't have to pay. So honestly, it was financial. I wish I could say something else about, you know, idealistic reasons or anything. But I just thought, what's going to be the best long-term solution for me? And I also knew, you know, had a friend working at the Apple store that I could get help with. And so I go in there once a week and we do Apple lessons, and he's great. Sometimes I walk in and I am not a happy camper because the Mac won't do something and I've been threatening to turn it into a Frisbee and throw it through a window. But by the time I'm done, John's got me smiling again and I like it. So,
well, you've mentioned that a couple times and we really are happy you haven't thrown your Mac through the window.
I'm sure it's happy too.
I'm sure my husband is too, because it's expensive.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be getting these podcasts had you done that, probably.
No. You know, once you get it working, it's great, but it's just so – I think people who create screen readers, they have kind of a mindset. It's almost like, you know, when you're in college and you take your first test and, you know, you're always kind of nervous, and then you start answering the questions and you're like, okay, I see the way the teacher is thinking and I can follow their thought process, you know. And so – I think it's kind of the same thing with using a assistive technology sometimes is you know, when you can get in the head of the creator and follow their thought process, it makes it easier.
Well, there is a learning curve, but the nice thing is you've gotten beyond all that. And I get it that you're still working on it and still learning new things, as we all are. But it's honestly a great testimonial that you're able to use the Apple devices to accomplish your goals with the podcast. And yes, it is true that there's a real advantage to the fact that they include accessibility in the regular cost of their product. It's not a bolted on extra that you have to pay for. And that's just a huge shift in the world of access technology. We've never seen anything like that before. And you're just one example of someone who's actually taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I know. I remember shortly after I got my iPhone, my brother and his wife adopted a little girl. And my sister-in-law is one of those people that, you know, if you text her, she'll answer you instantly. And if you call her on the phone, it'll be a while before she gets back to you. And she was sending all these text messages about their experience adopting cute Zelly. And it meant so much to me to be able to read those and follow those. I think Apple has changed a lot of lives, but I think for people with disabilities, it's amazing. And, you know, some of the stuff they've done that helps my husband with his disability, like you can put the home button on the screen and tap the home button on your screen. And I remember we were talking about that one day and I said, you know, Tyler, I'm married to you. I've been married to you for like 9 years. And I never would have thought of that. So, I mean, they must have done focus groups or something, but what they have done for people with disabilities is just so great. And they've also been able to hire people with disabilities too, because their products are accessible. And so, they have some people with disabilities working for them.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And we're going to see more and more as time goes on. They've started stocking some accessibility products in the Apple online store. And so, and they just came out with a whole web page on the iTunes site with all of the audio described movies. And so clearly they're continuing to move forward with accessibility, and we're just near the beginning still. And it's even as good as it is now, I'm very confident it's going to get better.
Absolutely.
I know. Doesn't it want to make you live to be like 105 just to see what they come up with?
It really does.
my grandfather was born in 1901 and he passed away in 2002. And I've thought so much about that. I mean, he was born the year Queen Victoria died.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I've thought of all the things that he saw in his lifetime. And I thought, I hope to live to be that old, as long as I can be in good health, just to see what they come up with, just because it's interesting to find out.
Right, because we're already so lucky to be alive in this time. I mean, 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now, the world is going to be, I think, a better, more accessible place. And I want to be there for it. I hear you.
Yeah.
So as we kind of bring this to a close, if you can, give people some contact information for you or for the podcast, or I'm not even sure we've said the name of it enough. How is the best way for people to subscribe and all that kind of information?
Sure. The website is abilitystories.podbean.com for now. And then my email address with the podcast is abilitystories@gmail.com. And I have to say, it makes my day when people just email me with comments or anything like that. And then I'm on iTunes. So, if anybody has a Victor Stream or, you go into iTunes and just search for Ability Stories, I'm right there. And I have to say, when I was able to get onto my podcast feed on the Human War Victor Stream and look for Ability Stories and subscribe to my own podcast, I was jumping up and down.
Isn't that a cool thing?
I was excited. It was really cool. I was like, yeah, this is awesome.
That is. But how about your Twitter handle? Not to pressure you into being more active on Twitter, but giving out your Twitter handle might help you.
it's the same thing. It's Ability Stories is my Twitter handle. And that's on my list of things to do at the Apple Store is get on Twitter and get talking to people.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're actually coming into it at a good time because both Twitter with the update to the Twitterific client and Facebook with some of their updates, both of them really are becoming more accessible at this point.
Oh yeah. And I have an Ability Stories Facebook page that I haven't done anything with. I need to go and look at everybody else's Facebook page just to figure out what people post and stuff. So I'm new at this, but we're making progress.
That's one thing we don't have. Maybe we should think about a Tech Doctor Facebook page, huh, Allison?
Maybe. I have confession time here on the Tech Doctor podcast. I am not as into Facebook, nearly as into Facebook as I am into Twitter. I appreciate the strides that they have made in terms of accessibility, but I still think it's a big old pain in the butt.
I gather Twitter is just a little bit more accessible. That's what
Because it's not quite so vast. There's less that you can do with it beyond, the status updates or posting links or sharing a picture. And it's a little bit more manageable in terms of keeping up, I think, for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, and until very recently, so much of Facebook was about people posting photographs. And
it still is.
The blind person would have very little idea what was there, but Facebook is actually using some artificial intelligence to start describing some of those photographs.
It's in its early days. And again, I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but for now, those descriptions are not, it's something anyway.
It is something. It's a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming along.
The picture
along.
May show two people. It's like, oh, good. I wonder who those people are.
Right.
What are they? What are they doing? Where are they?
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I'm glad to see them working on the interface. It's that they've added some rotor action items on iOS that make
that I do like,
liking and responding commenting. And commenting easier. And so it's coming along. I'm not a big Facebook fan either, honestly, but you know, they're on the move, and that's good.
Yeah.
And you know, we're also seeing some interesting new technologies come along from Humanware with their new Braille Note Touch product. I'm glad to see them stepping into the Android space and the Google Play Store. They're certified there.
I've seen it, and it is a really, if I had $5,500 to spend, which I don't think I ever will, I would consider it, because it's a very, very neat piece of machinery.
It seems like it would be. I'm anxious to see how people get along with it now that they've started shipping it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Allison. The problem with it is they've done great coming up with the new technology, taking advantage of the touchscreen, taking advantage of the modern operating system, taking advantage of the Google Play Store. But they've unfortunately, I guess, had to keep the new technology at the old price. And that's where the problem lies.
It's going to be a barrier of entry for a lot of people. It's actually going to end up being a bigger barrier of entry to working people who are not necessarily getting voc rehab services, like myself, for example.
And like me.
Yeah.
You know, or stay-at-home moms like me.
Right, right. Because how are we supposed to...
Yeah, if they take about $4,000 off the price, that would
be fantastic.
Yeah, maybe
$1,500. I'd figure out a way to be there, but
or a more manageable payment plan. Right now, you can do a payment plan through PayPal, where you get 6 months interest free. But that's still almost $1,000 a month, and that's half my rent. So,
and the thing that scares me about that, I don't know how this particular device will be, but so often we've seen you pay for the thing for 6 months and then you realize, gosh, it's already two updates behind.
Yep.
And we have no idea when they're going to update this thing again. And that's just a problem with access technology that's been especially designed like that. And so it's scary to invest that much and not know quite how long that investment's going to be current.
Yeah, I'd rather just invest slightly less in a Braille display, like the Braille Edge or the Focus, and use it with my computers and my iOS devices.
Yeah, and honestly, I was attending a conference last week where I was using my Braille device with my iPhone all day long, and I was amazed how well it really does all work these days.
It's gotten a lot better.
I was able to sit there and silently do everything on the Braille display, take notes for the conference, don't tell anyone, but check in on Twitter every once in a while. do all those things just perfectly silently.
Did you guys use the Braille lights?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Did you guys ever play the game Bongo?
I remember that game. I don't remember much about it.
It was great. Some lady, because the Braille light, they had the developer's kit out. And so, I mean, blind people got a hold of that, and they'd have them singing Star Wars and all kinds of stuff. And it was this game where you'd go through a maze, and then the OU, the 1, 2, 5, 6 sign was a monster. And so in the four signs, the full cell would be this wall, you know? And I'd sit there and play that in, like, high school biology, and I'd be, like, pressing the space bar, trying to kill this monster and trying to pretend I was taking notes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we leave the Braille Note Touch completely, though, I do want to compliment Chris and Kim, because over at mysticaccess.com, they've just released a really great 12-hour tutorial on the Braille Note Touch. And that tutorial, Kim has done a fabulous job on. I've listened to the first part of it. It's available for free from their website and also from the Humanware site. And if you really want to learn the ins and outs of the new Braille Note Touch, that's a great way to go about it. It's a really good tutorial in DAISY format. Yeah, it's very, very well done. Well, Tara, I want to thank you for taking some time away from your family to come on the Tech Doctor podcast. We appreciate getting the information. It's been delightful to have you here. So thank you for doing it.
Thank you. It's been way fun.
Yes, we do enjoy doing this podcast. So I guess we can go ahead, if you're willing to, Allison, and give people some contact information for us. Tara was brave enough to give hers out, so we ought to follow suit, I would think.
Well, I suppose I'm willing. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so by sending an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. If you would like to connect with us via Twitter, I am at Apple Alley. That's APPLEALLI. And Robert is at Robert_Carter.
Ooh, you did a fabulous job.
Ah, thank you.
All on the first try.
I know.
Excellent. All right. We will be back sooner than later with more from the Tech Doctor podcast. Thank you all so much. We appreciate you listening to this thing that we carry forward every so often here. This is Robert, one of the Tech Doctors. I'm going to say so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other Tech Doctor, saying bye, everyone.